Welcome to More Than Money with your host, Ross Murray. This episode of More Than Money is brought to you by More Time Financial, a financial planning company who are on a mission to help young Australians make smarter decisions with money by providing real-life financial advice, coaching, and financial education.
Hey, what's up? It's Ross Murray. Welcome back to another episode of More Than Money. On this podcast, I have real conversations about lifestyle, money, and business. Sometimes I share interviews with business owners and entrepreneurs about starting their own business and their journey. Other times we do financial education and informational episodes to help you make smarter decisions with money, just like this one. So if you're new here, consider subscribing. Now, before we get started on today's episode, this is just a friendly reminder in order to keep our lawyers happy that in preparing this podcast, myself and any contributors have not taken into account any particular person's objectives, financial situation, or needs. So before acting on any of this information, you should consider its relevance to your personal circumstances. And if required, seek the assistance of a licensed professional. Following on from last week's episode where we covered steps 1 and 2 in your wealth protection plan, in today's episode, we are covering the final step, which is getting your estate plan sorted. Unfortunately, much like insurances, dealing with estate planning documents and putting in place an estate plan is on the bottom of most people's to-do list. However, we know from our roles as financial advisors that having an estate plan in place is absolutely critical, especially if you have people that are emotionally and financially dependent on you. In the event of some sort of crisis or the worst happening and when someone passes away, invariably there's two things that happen. There's going to be the emotional pain that comes with dealing with something like that. And then there's going to be the financial slash administrative burden and pain that we have to deal with. Now, we can't do too much about the emotional side. However, having the appropriate estate planning documents and just documents in general in place can help to reduce, not remove, but reduce some of that financial and administrative burden that will come with having to deal with the death of someone. Just a quick note before we get started. The following recording is a clip from an estate planning tutorial that we provided some of our clients earlier last year. There is corresponding slides that went along with the tutorial. You can head over to YouTube to see the full tutorial, including the slides. And just a note regarding the audio quality. Apologies for the slight lack in quality in the following recording. However, the content is still super valuable. So with that in mind, I hope you find the following helpful.
For most of us, we know that having an estate plan in place is important, especially if we've recently had children and we've become parents. But what we might not know is what is estate planning and what goes into having an appropriate or an up-to-date estate plan. So an estate plan is something that records what you would like to have done with your assets or who you would like to make decisions for you in the event that you're unable to make those decisions for yourself. Now, that may be that you're overseas and you can't make those decisions, or something's happened to you, you're in hospital, incapacitated, and you physically cannot make those decisions for yourself. And then finally, in the event of you passing away, what would you like to happen with your assets? The way we like to think about it is, in the event of you passing away, we need to make sure that the right people get the right amount of money at the right time. This becomes really important because there can be potential unintended consequences in the event of you passing away and you leaving money to family members, younger children, friends, charities, etc. So it's important that we know and we document that the right money goes to the right people at the right time. You might be wondering, what is your estate? Now, it is a bit of a strange term, but basically your estate means the things that you own. In this case, that may be a house, a property, companies, businesses, cars, home and contents, life insurance, investments, whether that's shares, property, managed funds, superannuation. So we can see that as our life gets more complicated, your potential estate can become quite large. So even if you have recently started working and you might not think you have much, the fact that you have superannuation and potential life insurance means that your estate could be a couple of hundred thousand or potentially a few million dollars in assets. So it's important that we have something in place to document and plan for what needs to happen if the worst does happen. There are a number of documents that form your estate planning, and the most popular one that most of us would know is a will, so having a will in place. Now, there's also a death benefit nomination, so that is in particular related to your superannuation. Then there are powers of attorney, so this could be general, injury, or medical powers of attorney. And then finally, we have letter of wishes or instructions. So first of all, what is a will? A legal document stating what you would like to happen to your assets when you die. It is part, but not all, of your estate plan. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, they put in place a will if they do that first step, which is a great first step, but that isn't all of your estate plan. As we can see, there are a number of other documents that we need to consider. The couple of things to consider with a will is, and what you can nominate in here is, how would you like your assets or your estate to be shared? Who will look after your children in the event of you passing away if you have younger children? Is there any requirement to set up any trusts? How much money would you like to be given to charity, if any? And any plans for your funeral? Now, when we create a will, there's a number of roles and responsibilities that go into a will. So it's important to understand who these people are, because we're going to need to nominate someone, which we'll do in a second. First of all, we have an executor. An executor is responsible for locating the will, attending to any of your funeral arrangements, applying for probate, paying off any debts that you may have, collecting assets, distributing assets and the estate to the beneficiaries, which is the people that you would like to receive the money, preparing your accounts, working with your accountants and working with other lawyers to make sure that everything gets done appropriately and the way that you intended it to in your will. Now, we also have a trustee. An executor may take the role of a trustee if there are trusts established in the will. We'll help you to work with our legal team to decide, is there any trust required? And basically, a trustee is someone that looks after the trusts and makes sure that, again, similar to the executor, that whatever your wishes are, whatever you've documented in your will gets appropriately done and gets done in a timely manner. How to choose and who to nominate as your executor or trustee. Many of our clients nominate the same person for the executor and the trustee role, but this doesn't have to be the case. But this could be, in if you are in a relationship, your partner or your spouse, family members, close friend, and in some cases, your accountant or other financial professionals. But it's important to think about who you are appointing to these roles. Are they likely to still be alive when you do pass away? And would they be suitable to act in these roles? Do they have the capacity? Do they have the time, etc.? Now, finally, the third one we have here is a guardian or guardianship of children. If you do have children under 18, it is imperative that you create a legal will that dominates who you would like to care for your children in the event of you passing away. Again, it's important to think about who you would like to nominate in this role. It doesn't have to be the same people as an executor or a trustee, but a guardian, it could be in the event of you and your partner passing away. Then we'd need to dictate to say, is that friends? Is this family? Who is going to take on that responsibility? This is no small decision to make. It's important that you make this decision knowing all of the facts and knowing all of the roles and responsibilities that the people will take on as the guardian of your children. Moving to death benefit nomination, this is a document that your superannuation fund uses. Unfortunately, in Australia, your superannuation fund or your superannuation assets, being your funds and potentially life insurance, don't automatically form part of your will or part of your estate. There is a separate document, which is called a death benefit nomination, that tells the superannuation fund or the superannuation fund trustee who you would like that money to go to. Now, there's two different types that we need to consider, and we can assist with deciding which is the most appropriate for you. And that is a binding death nomination, and the final one is a non-binding death nomination. The key difference between the two being the binding and non-binding wording. A binding means this is what must happen. So you nominate and you sign a document to say, this is what must happen to my superannuation, versus this is what I would like to happen. So a binding nomination is, this is what must happen. A non-binding nomination is to say, this is what I would like to happen in the event of me passing away. This is who I'd like to get the money. Moving on to a power of attorney. What is it? Why do you need it? Who's it for? Key roles and responsibilities. A power of attorney is a document that gives someone else, other than yourself, the legal right to look after you and your affairs. It's important to think about who to nominate, like all these other roles are. You think about nominating someone trustworthy, financially responsible, and likely to be around when you need them. The three main types of powers of attorney that you can have in place is a general power of attorney, an enduring power of attorney, and a medical power of attorney. All have varying levels of implications for the people that you nominate. A general power of attorney allows someone to make financial and legal decisions for you. They usually use this for a specified time. For example, you're overseas and you can't manage your affairs at home. Or if you're unable to make decisions for yourself, i.e. you've become incapacitated, a general power of attorney would become invalid. So a general power of attorney is the least serious of them, of the three. The next one is an enduring power of attorney. So an enduring power of attorney allows someone to make financial legal decisions for you, regardless of if you've become incapacitated or not. So this applies to in the event of you being in hospital, being incapacitated, this document is still valid. Comparing that to a general power of attorney, where that document will no longer be valid in the event of you being unable to make those decisions for yourself. Finally, a medical power of attorney allows someone to make medical decisions for you, even if you've become unable to do for yourself. It doesn't allow them to make any other decisions except for medical decisions. The key reason for outlining the three here is that you could potentially nominate different people in these roles. And depending on what your wishes are, we can appoint different people to make sure that those wishes are adhered to. The final document that we will discuss is a letter of wishes. Now, a letter of wishes, sometimes called a memorandum of wishes, goes hand in hand with your estate plan. But the key thing to note here is that this is not a legally binding document. This is a document that's intended to provide you with the ability to give some guidance to your executor or trustee. So the couple of things that you might nominate in here is that if you've appointed a guardian to look after your children, while they don't have to, and it's not legally binding that they adhere to these things, it just gives them a guide to help them out. Because if something like this has happened, it's obviously going to be a huge change in your children's life and their life, but you might nominate things like how you would like your children to be raised, what school you would like them to attend, where you would like them to grow up.
I hope you found that information helpful. Obviously, when it comes to estate plans and putting in place estate planning documents, there is a number of other things that we could have covered. However, this episode was intended just to provide you the Estate Planning 101, an overview of what you need to know and the documents that you need to put in place to get your estate plans up to date. So if you are like the over 50% of Australians who do not have in place a valid will, I urge you that if you're going to do anything for yourself in 2023, is put in place a will and get this sorted ASAP. This can be done through a solicitor. This can be done through your current financial planner. If you're not sure who to talk to, or you're not sure who to turn to put these documents in place, you can reach out to myself and my team in the contact details below, and we can help to put you in touch with the right people to get these documents in place for you as soon as possible. If you have any questions, be sure to follow the link in the description below to submit your questions, and I'll do my best to answer these in a future episode.
If you've enjoyed this episode of More Than Money, make sure that you subscribe to keep up to date with all of the latest episodes. And feel free to like, comment, and share with a friend.